Today, I will be looking at still missing people who disappeared under mysterious circumstances while on the job. Work consumes the majority of our life, taking precious time away from our beloved family, friends, and hobbies. Only a few small things in life feel better than coming home after a long, hard day at work. But some people never come home. Hey doll, I'm drinking Yorkshire Tea Gold. Gold, of course. Do us a favour, like and subscribe, especially subscribe, that would really help me out. Jonathan Spolin from Ireland was 28 when he disappeared on the 3rd of February 2012. He was working as a journalist and visiting Rishikesh, a small laid-back city surrounded by lush, gorgeous forest in northern India. Pitching itself as the yoga capital of the world, Rishikesh is a popular tourist destination with hundreds of thousands of tourists every year. Obviously, this is not everybody's cup of tea, but it is mine, and Mama wants some chai. In 1968, the Beatles visited, inspiring them to write some of their most creative works. So Jonathan's in Rishikesh, doing yoga, surrounded by creativity and inspiration. On the 3rd of February 2012, Jonathan told his mother Linda that he had changed his mind about travelling to Delhi. He said he was contemplating going into documentaries and he wanted to stay in Rishikesh a little bit longer. And he specifically wanted to stay so he could complete a short trek that only lasted a few weeks. Doll, count me out, that is not a short trek. For me, a short trek is a few hours. But yeah, unfortunately, this was the decision that led to Jonathan just vanishing. He told his mother he wanted to do this hike trek alone. He didn't want a guide. He didn't want a group or a buddy. He wanted it to be spiritual and enlightening. Jonathan warned his mother that signal would be sparse in the foothills of the Himalayas. Linda was obviously worried but trusted her son. Jonathan had been travelling as a journalist for years now. About 35 minutes after they spoke on the phone, Linda texted her son saying, "Have a wonderful experience and don't worry as we are 100% behind you. So go for it. Love you so much. Send me I'm an okay text as often as possible. Some might get through." Linda never heard from Jonathan again. Obviously, Jonathan told his mother, you know, he's going on a hike that lasts a few weeks and the signal is spotty. So initially, Linda wasn't worried, but after 2.5 weeks, she knew something was wrong. Jonathan was reported missing on February the 27th. His unexplained disappearance sparked an international campaign to locate him, to find him. And soon, friends and family were off to search the Indian forests. On the 11th of March, in a woodland clearing, police discovered some of Jonathan's belongings. Jonathan's sleeping bag was tidily laid out, with a book on top. His bag, not thought to be the main one he was carrying, appeared untouched. Inside was his passport and money. The scene looked like he had just got up and walked away. The surrounding area was searched, and over the next few days, some scrunched up cards and papers, including his health cards and Hong Kong ID, were found on a narrow trail 1 kilometre away. The discarded items seemed at the time to point towards one conclusion. Jonathan was doing what many other spiritual tourists do while in Rishikesh. Was Jonathan deliberately shedding his possessions and his past life and renouncing who he was so he could follow a new path? Mother Linda has always rejected this idea, saying that that is not Jonathan. Jonathan would have told her. Although others who know Jonathan have thought different. Upon hearing the news that Jonathan had disappeared while in India, many family and friends' initial thoughts were that Jonathan had joined a commune or an ashram, like many travellers seeking experience and enlightenment do. Some believe that Jonathan may have developed India syndrome, or joined an extreme Hindu religious cult. Yes, this seems bad, but there are other theories on Jonathan's disappearance which are less optimistic, but just as likely. Some people speculate that Jonathan is dead, theorizing that he died from drowning in the River Ganges or by being attacked by a wild animal. He's in the forest. Jonathan Spolin, born in 1983, white and 6 foot tall, is still considered a missing person. Also, in 2012, leading seaman Timothy or Timmy McCall of the Royal Navy from Perthshire, Scotland, went missing when the ship he was serving aboard was docked in Port Rashid, Dubai. Timothy was serving aboard the HMS Westminster. That's hard to say. HMS Westminster. As part of the ship's 7-month security mission in the Middle East. On Saturday, the 26th of May 2012, Timothy was enjoying his free time in Dubai. He spent a good part of the day swimming before he and some of his shipmates went out on the town drinking. And this is where things went wrong. Doll, I've been there. Sunstroke and drinking does not mix. It will mess you up in the worst way. This Celtic pale skin cannot handle that much sun. We are not built for this lifestyle. The Rock Bottom Cafe. This was the last time that Timmy was accounted for. At about 2 a.m, Timothy's friends put him into a taxi and told the driver to take him the 15-minute drive back to the ship. Little did they know that this would be the last time they would see their friend and shipmate. When it was noticed that Timothy was not on the boat, the Royal Navy reported him missing later that same day. Sunday, the 27th of May, an investigation was immediately launched by the Dubai Police Force, and two counter-terrorism command officers from the UK were flown out to Dubai to assist in this. The police in Dubai interviewed the taxi driver, who said that he dropped Timothy off at a tea shack in the port area. Crew of HMS Westminster retraced the route that the taxi should have taken between the Rock Bottom Cafe and where the ship was berthed, but nothing. Checks were made at police stations, hospitals, mortuaries, medical centres and prisons. Still no record of him. They also did door-to-door inquiries and spoke to the local people in the area. The port was searched by divers, helicopters, dogs, heat-seeking equipment, and nothing. Nothing could be found. Not a hat, not a wallet, sunglasses, not a shoe, nothing. On Sunday the 27th, Timothy didn't show up for a Skype call with his wife, Rachel, who was still in Portsmouth, England. I don't think Rachel paid much attention to a missed Skype call. Like, she probably just thought something came up, he was busy, couldn't make it, and she would find out later. Rachel was not informed of her husband's disappearance for 72 hours. She was quite rightly upset that it took them this long to tell her, and she said that this disappearance was totally out of character for Timmy. Okay, so I understand waiting a day to tell the wife. You know, like, Timothy had a drink and maybe he's out sleeping it off somewhere. Maybe he got lost. Maybe he got in a fight. They probably thought it best not to worry the pregnant wife. Yes. She's like 6 months pregnant at this point. And you can't really completely blame the crew, because just because something's out of character doesn't mean you initially, your first reaction is missing. You don't initially jump to worst case scenario. But 3 days, 3 freaking days, that's a long time to wait to inform the family. I think one day, if he doesn't turn up by the next night, yeah. The day after they told Rachel, on the 31st of May, this ship left Dubai, sans Timothy McCall. 4 months later, his youngest daughter, Eriske, was born. She has never met her father. Back home, there was vigils, TV interviews and internet campaigns pleading for authorities to intervene and not give up the search. Rachel and Detective Neil Cunningham, who is Timothy's uncle, flew out to Dubai in January 2013. Rachel felt confident in the investigator's scope and effort. And upon returning to the UK, she decided that she would shut down the website and the Facebook group, which had amassed over 100,000 followers. She said that the Facebook group was having a negative impact on her young family. However, just a few months later, and 1 year after Timothy's disappearance, Rachel McCall told Sky News that an eyewitness had came forward, alleging that Timothy did make it back to Port Rashid and onto the ship, but he was then seen leaving the ship and getting into another taxi at 3 a.m. heading back into Dubai. Rachel appealed for any other witnesses on the ship who's seen this to come forward with any information possible. Timothy's uncle Neil was quoted as saying 197 members of the ship's company in and around Dubai for 8 days. I'm sure there's more information that can assist us and encourage the Dubai police to carry on the investigation. Since Timothy's disappearance, Rachel has been, quite rightly, openly angry and furious and highly critical of the Royal Navy, as well as the Foreign and Commonwealth's office's investigation into Timothy's disappearance. Timothy's family said that they've been met with a wall of silence and no information has been passed along, and that they have only ever received information when they have been physically in Dubai. Allegedly, the Ministry of Defence prevented Timothy's shipmates from wearing yellow ribbons as a tribute to their missing co-worker. And if this is true, it is absolutely disgusting. In 2014, the Royal Navy issued a death certificate listing death by drowning, despite there being absolutely no evidence and contrary to Rachel's beliefs and wishes. It is awful, but to me, it does seem like the most likely scenario. I mean, what are the authorities meant to do? What more can they do? They have investigated, interviewed, and appealed to the public. The only thing that changed was when a witness came forward a year later, and those statements have not been verified. There is no CCTV footage of this happening. We're just taking somebody's word for it. Like, there hasn't been a single trace of Timothy. But is that not also suspicious? Not a single trace? No wallet, no sunglasses, no hat, no shoes, nothing? On Sunday, the 16th of June in 1990, 52-year-old Traveline Evans parked her car 200 yards away from her antique shop on Church Street. She opened Attic Antiques at the usual time of 9:30 a.m. Traveline had started her business over a year ago. Over the next few hours, about 25 friends and customers popped in and out of the shop. According to people she spoke with that day, life seemed grand and dandy. Traveline was happy, relaxed, and had made plans for that Saturday night at the pub. She had also been spending her free time with her husband. They were renovating their holiday bungalow, converting it, making it ready to be their retirement bungalow. However, at about 12:40 p.m., a smartly dressed man in a blazer entered Attic Antiques, and he was seen talking to Traveline. Shortly after this stranger's visit, Traveline left her shop and stuck a note to the front door. The note read, "Back in 2 minutes." But Traveline hasn't been seen since. During her last known movements upon leaving Attic Antiques, it is believed that Traveline was maybe spotted crossing nearby Castle Street, where she bought an apple and a banana, as a banana skin was found in the Attic Antiques bin. So she may have returned to the shop, or maybe not. Without eyewitnesses or CCTV, this has never been confirmed. Traveline's car keys, handbag, jacket, along with fruit and flowers she had recently bought, and which she supposedly intended to take home, were left in Attic's Antique. Why would she leave them there? And her little blue car remained parked where she had been all morning. The last sighting of Traveline was about an hour and a half later, near her home on Market Street at 2:30 p.m. During this time, her her husband Richard was in the local pub. After 2:30, two more unconfirmed suspected sightings of Traveline were made. She was potentially spotted at 2:35. A woman matching her description was seen walking out of town. Then at 3:45 p.m., a woman walking into Park Avenue. At 11 p.m. that night, when Traveline still hadn't come home, her husband reported her missing to the police. And there was an immediate search. Every household in the area was interviewed. More than 1,500 names were checked and about 700 cars were eliminated from the inquiry. Searches of the River Dee, the canal, mine shafts and caves in Clackloughlin area were carried out, but no trace of Traveline was found. No money was ever taken from Traveline's bank account, and it seemed like she had no money on her when she disappeared. This possibly rules out the idea that she just ran off. How is she going to run off with no money? Indicating to police that she was most likely abducted and murdered. On the subject of money, Traveline had recently received an inheritance, a payout, money. She received money, about £10,000, which is £24,000 in today's money, from a dead ex-lover she had taken while married. Dun dun dun! She had an affair. Oh. And yes, of course, this made the police very suspicious of Richard. Was he jealous, angry, greedy, or all of the above? Other than the husband, another suspect was the smartly dressed blazer man, who to this day has never came forward, never been identified, nor traced. It is not even known if he was involved in Traveline's disappearance that day. There is another suspect, a suspicious drifter. He was seen around the same time, milling about the town and close to Traveline's shop in a camper van. This drifter matches the description of serial killer Christopher Halliwell, disguised as a master of disposing bodies. And that was it. The case went cold for 10 years, when it was reopened and husband Richard was arrested, but released without charge. It seems police are sure of his guilt, but perhaps Traveline isn't even dead. Apparent sightings of Traveline Evans alive and well have been reported in London, France, and even a remote town in Australia. And 9 years after that, the case is still kind of active. In 2019, police dug up the bar at Rogerland Golf Club, acting on information from two brothers, claiming that they had seen human remains under the floorboards. However, when the police carried out their own search, they found nothing. The brothers claimed the remains must have been removed by the time the police got there. Who would move them? What? Obviously, these guys are clout chasers. Then, in 2021, Traveline's bench was vandalised. The graffiti accused someone of removing her remains. It's hard to read, but it says, "In memory of Traveline Evans, vanished the 16th of May 1990, found Rudland, GC, the 14th of March 2019, removed the 19th of March 2019, or IP. Despite this case being over 30 years old, it's still making news. Watch the whole deep dive I did on Traveline Evans' disappearance right here. It is also linked in the description. Thank you all for watching. Please subscribe. These are my Patreons. Do you know any other cases at which somebody disappeared while at work? Let me know. Maybe I'll cover them. Slán.